okay. I'm glad we've got enough kids that we actually have to pause and take a break and wait for all of them to get out, to be dismissed. That sounded terrible. I didn't mean it to sound that way. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a heads up. I just sitting over there this morning during our time of worship, I just really felt a shift in my heart and a shift in my spirit on the direction for today. Just so you'll know, I actually did plan. I have this whole. I think the Lord probably has this one for a different time, because there's something that I want to speak on very briefly today. Is that okay? One of the more challenging things that a body, a church body, the body of Christ, one of the more challenging things that we can deal with really doesn't have much to do with something external. I mean, you know, we know that there's hostility and enmity between the things of God and the things that are not of God. We understand that and we expect that. So that's really not our difficulty. We're on our guard against the wiles of the enemy already. But one of the more difficult things that we can ever deal with is internal strife and conflict. It's a challenge to us because it involves one of us. And it's very, very difficult to deal with. It's just a challenge. If the ministry and the purpose and the mission of the church was always found its fulfillment in preaching or teaching or food bank ministry or feeding the kids on Wednesday night, if everything that has the mission of the church stamp upon it, if every part of the church's mission was positive and sunny and rainbows, then it would be so easy. But that's not reality. That's not the way it is. Sometimes people, you know, people are messy. Yeah, and I include myself in that. We're all messy. All of us come with issues and baggage and preconceived ideas and notions. I'm going to get there. Hang on. Where are you going? Just hang on. I'll get there. And so because people are messy and people's lives are messy, sin has messed us all up. And so because people's lives are messy, if ministry is going to be effective, it must be willing to get messy. And it needs to roll its sleeves up from time to time. I wish to goodness that all we ever had to deal with was just praying for folks around the altar or feeding the kids on Wednesday or singing on a worship team. Those are all positive and wonderful experiences, but that's not all there is sometimes to the work of the church and the mission and the ministry of the church. Sometimes it requires us to get into the messiness of people's lives. And one of the most messy things that we can ever involve ourselves in concerns internal conflict within the body of Christ itself. And because it is difficult, and because it's uncomfortable, and we don't like it. I don't like conflict. I just don't. I'd rather things go smoothly. None of us, I don't know of anybody that really enjoys it. Some people seem to be a little more able to handle it better than others, but I don't know of anyone that would say, I love it when things are in conflict. I guess there are some people who are just that way. I don't know, but it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know of anyone that just says, I love it when things are in conflict. I don't know of anyone like that. And so because we don't enjoy it, sometimes we're hesitant to confront and to enter into a conflicted situation, even when it needs to be dealt with. And so sometimes it's easier just to say, well, let's just pray about it. Well, okay, pray about it, but then when you get off your knees, do something. Sometimes it actually takes some direction. And because it's difficult, and because we have a natural hesitancy within us to deal with difficult situations, God knows that. He knows that. And so he did not leave the body of Christ. He did not leave the church without remedy. He provided and has provided for us, for the church, very clear instruction and very clear direction on how we should proceed whenever there's a conflict, a situation that needs to be dealt with. So turn with me very quickly, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. This was not my message for today, so bear with me. I was scratching down some notes on my way up here almost, and so just bear with me. We'll get through this. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. This passage of Scripture gives us very specific guidance and very clear direction regarding conflict and confrontation and how the church should deal with it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Before we read that, I want to point something out to you. If you would read the passage of Scripture just previous to Matthew chapter 18, it is Jesus teaching on the lost sheep. And so the context of Matthew 18, 15 to 20 is the heart of the Father. It is the broken heart of a father who wants nothing more than the complete and total restoration of every single sheep that has gone astray. And so when we're reading this Matthew 18, 15 passage, I want you to understand this is taking place within the context of a broken-hearted father who wants nothing more than restoration for one of his children. The context is not punishment. The context is not retribution. The context is not embarrassment. The context is not humiliation. The context is restoration. Okay, so that's the context. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here and insert feminine pronouns in this passage as well as the masculine ones that are already located there, because we understand that what applies to men in the Scripture also applies to ladies, in this case especially. So listen, if your brother or sister sins, go to him or her and show him or her her fault or his fault in private. If he or she listens to you, you have won your brother or your sister. Private confrontation. Verse 16. But if he or she does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. The second step is, if there's not repentance after private confrontation, then there is confrontation with a witness or two. Can you see there's an added layer of accountability? Okay. Verse 17. If he or she refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he or she refuses to listen even to the church, let him or her be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Let me just tell you what that means. In that context, it means consider them worthy of exclusion. Now, this is what I'm telling. It gets very uncomfortable here. This gets very uncomfortable. But this is the Scripture. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, what color are these words? They are red. These are the words of Christ. So let's finish this up. As difficult as this is to get through, let's finish this up. So someone who, after private confrontation and confrontation among witnesses, and then still with accountability of an entire church in place, there still is the refusal. The scripture says at that point, the church, the body of Christ, should consider that person worthy of exclusion. Remember the context, not punishment, not embarrassment, repentance and restoration. I can just hear, I can almost see tears rolling down the face of Christ as he is giving this instruction. The context is the lost sheep. Spare no expense to get that lost sheep back in the fold. Okay, let's keep reading. So if they refuse to listen, even to the church, then they are to be considered worthy of exclusion. Truthfully, I say to you, now here's the context for this scripture. I've heard this scripture quoted out of context nearly my whole life, but here's the context for this scripture. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Here's how it could be translated. Whatever things you bind on earth shall already have been bound in heaven. So our responsibility is to recognize what God is doing and has already done and enter into agreement with what God has said. God has said that person is worthy of exclusion. And so our responsibility is to recognize that and enter into agreement with what God has said. Whatever things you bind on earth shall already have been bound in heaven, and whatever things you loose, there's that idea of freedom that comes with repentance and restoration. Whatever things you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, here's the context for this often quoted scripture. Whatever I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. What's the Father asking for? What should the body of Christ be asking for in this context? Repentance and restoration. For where two or three have gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Okay. Just so that it is clear, the Church Leadership Council, over the past several months, actually, has been going through a Matthew 18, 15 through 20 process with one of our very own. I was just simply going to make a quick announcement, but I really felt that to do so would have been to make lighthearted over something that the Father considers very serious. And so I wanted to spend our time on this morning. Please, bear with me and please help me to be in the right attitude here, okay? I'm going to do my best and I'm going to need you to help me. And if I cross a line, I don't intend to do that. I need you to pray for me and please give me some understanding. We've been going through a Matthew chapter 18 process with Heidi for the past several months. And I'm not going to go into detail. It's not worth it. Some of you probably might understand some of the issues that we've been trying to help her with because some of you may have been drugged into the drama. Needless to say, there was an occasion of private confrontation with one of the church leadership, and repentance did not occur. As a matter of fact, it became increased. Some of the challenges that we were dealing with actually increased and got worse. And so then there was the occasion of confrontation among witnesses to bring yet another layer of accountability. And understand from the passage of Scripture, the goal is at every stage the opportunity for repentance and restoration. And had that repentance and restoration occurred at the earlier stages, we would not be here this morning with this topic. And because the admonition of Scripture and the accountability applied from witnesses was not heeded, we are now informing the congregation that we have a lost sheep. And the heart of the Father is to see this lost sheep come home. So what that means for us in very practical ways, I'm very uncomfortable with this, and I can tell you are as well. Is it okay? Is that okay? All right. What that means in practical ways for us is that we won't be seeing Heidi in church services. And we won't be seeing Heidi participate in the various ministries of the church until and unless there is repentance and submission to the church leadership. So I just want to make that known. We don't know where, or we don't know when, we don't know how, but my prayer, I know it's the prayer of the Father, my prayer, and I know the prayer of our leadership council, we have agonized over this for months, trying to figure out how do we deal with this, what do we do? And finally, the Scripture is very clear. As uncomfortable as it is in this moment, why in the world are we doing this on a Sunday morning? Well, when else could I get you all here? As uncomfortable as it is, you know one of the reasons it's uncomfortable? Because you never see this. When was the last time a divisive person was dismissed from a church and it was made known publicly? But that's the Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. So we're trying to follow Scripture, even though it seems to be a little uncharted for us, even though it seems to be a little uncomfortable. So in the moment, then we begin to see that lost sheep come home and restoration and repentance has taken place, then we will welcome Heidi back with open arms, and we will never mention this again. Amen? So here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. Let's enter into the prayer of the Father, shall we? Let's pray along with the Heavenly Father that she will find her way to repentance and find her way to restoration. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray together. Can we do that? I was going to preach, but I just don't feel like that's in order. I feel like that it would minimize the seriousness. God in heaven, I have to confess, I have to admit, this is the most unusual thing I've ever done in a church service. I'm not at all comfortable. There's nothing in me that is joyful. But Lord, we simply want to be obedient to your word. Your word is clear. Your word is clear, and we don't have the liberty to disregard your word just because we're uncomfortable with it. And so, Lord, we respond according to your word today. We pray for our friend Heidi today. We pray for her that wherever she is right now, that she will know the love of Christ, that she will sense the love of the Heavenly Father, even in this difficult process that she's going through with our body, that she will sense and know and feel the heart of a Heavenly Father who loves and whose only intent is to see restoration take place. Lord, may she come to the place where she realizes she has a home here. We love her. We love her enough not to overlook this. We love her enough to bring this to the light that it might be dealt with. We bring this to you that you might, Lord, bring her to restoration. So we pray for her today. That she will, like the prodigal, she will come to her senses and say, I'm going to go back. I might have to swallow my pride. But Lord, I'm going to go back where I know I'll be loved and received. Lord, we ask that you'd let that happen. We want that to happen. We're not in a position where we can turn anybody away. But Lord, at the same time, we know that you have certain expectations. And we want to be obedient to your word. Lord, we pray blessing on her today. Blessing that would lead her the right way. Lord, we pray for this body now. This is unusual, very unusual. We pray for this body that we would understand your heart and that we would adopt your heart for Heidi in this process. That we will love her as you loved her. Even if it means tough love in certain ways. But Lord, that we will love her as you love her until that time that she comes back in full restoration. And then, God, may we resist, in Jesus' name, may we resist the attitude of the elder brother. May we recognize that there would we be were it not for your grace. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll give us the right attitude now and the right attitude when she comes home. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm done. You got a song for us, Gary? Something we can sing to close this out? Can we do that? You are faithful, your joy. Can we do that one? Thank you. God bless you guys.